You are listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program live on Strangelabel.com. It's spooky month.
Every night, I have this dream. I'm sliding down a slappy stream, straight in your mouth. The smack is strong. I eat your lips, your furry tongue. You call me freaky.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child.
Look, they're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier. And joining us this week, very special guest from the Furnacast, Miss Mandy Weaver.
Hello, I'm not Stinky Travis.
Travis will not be joining us this evening. I do have... Travis sent me an audio file, and yes, he told me to play it, but not to listen to it first. I have a feeling I know what it is.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. He said, Mike, I want you to play this. It's a special message for our listeners, but I don't want you to listen to it first. And I felt weird about that, but I trust Travis, and I believe that he'll take us to the promised land.
I have a feeling it's something really stupid.
You think it's going to be stupid?
Oh, my God.
No, Travis, he wouldn't do that.
Are you sure?
He does it when he's on the show. Why would he do anything different when he's gone?
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We do have one heck of a program for you this evening. The return of Napier's sexy story time for the ladies.
I wasn't here for the last one, was I?
I don't remember. The last three or four times we've done this bit, we've said at the end, we probably shouldn't do that again. I think it's past its prime. But we're going to do it again, guys.
No, the Ninja Turtles one was awesome.
Look forward to that. Yep. Hey, we've done it three times since then, and it wasn't very good.
The Optimus Prime one was pretty good.
Yeah, it was before the last three times when we said
it
wasn't any good.
I don't know what kind of feedback you guys get.
We get no feedback about anything, Mandy.
Okay, well, I'll just give you some in real time. There is something uncomfortable about the sexy story time. Each time, it's like, it really does make a person uncomfortable
but
to hear.
But that is the point, kind
right,
of. I mean,
right.
That's... I mean, I hate to, you know, break the wall and, you know, break... What is it? Break kayfabe.
Yeah.
I'm using wrestling terms, guys, but that's kind of the point. That's the point of a lot of things, is to make people uncomfortable. I mean, we're not really just, you know...
Well, how many people are we really making
uncomfortable? This is an NPR, guys. It's the goddamn Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Other than the people who are on the show, how many people are listening to the show?
Nobody. No. And you know what? I said that last week, and I should take that back. When I had my little freak out last week, and I bitched and complained a bunch, Like, I got a lot of really nice messages from people privately.
Are they people that listen to the show or that are also on
shows? They must have listened to the show because I didn't, like, put out on Twitter, hey, I bitched about this. So they must have listened, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I got a lot of nice... And, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, the majority of it were people who do podcasts. I'm telling you, the only people who listen to podcasts are people who do podcasts. That's it. There's a couple of other people, but not very many. And
well, you know
they're
what,
probably going to be starting their own podcast soon.
You know what, though? I have to tell you that that's not exactly a fair way to judge yourself, because don't you think the reason people start a podcast is because they listen to podcasts and they're a fan, and then they think, oh, I should do that. So really, they're fans first and podcasters second. You see what I mean?
You
so
think?
You should really be a little easier on yourself there,
right,
pal.
Maybe.
Right.
Definitely. Do you want to get into Travis's thing and get it out of the way?
Oh, God, yeah. Let's get that shit.
I have a pretty good idea. I know what this is going to be, but let's see.
Hey guys, Travis here.
Oh boy.
I'm not able to be with you physically tonight, but by the power of this special month, my disembodied voice is here with you right now. And in honor of that beautiful time of the year, I would like to bring you my favorite feature. In honor of Spooky Month and to celebrate Samhain, I've decided to bring our listeners to the edge of the other world. I've scoured through hundreds of hours of interviews and read countless documents to break down a few of the most haunted places in America. I'll feature one of these spooky sites on each episode, and together we'll figure out what makes each of these locations so disturbing. I'll take our listeners on a tour through these devilish destinations, so they don't have to experience them firsthand. Or, I'll feature them so they can day trip to these spooktacular sites at their own peril. This week, I bring you... the Villisca Axe Murder House.
See, he still has 20 more seconds on here.
Oh,
but...
dear God.
But I don't. What? I don't hear.
Wait.
Any there? There.
But does he not? He doesn't say anything about it. He just says, "This is what. This is a place." And well, then he stops talking.
There's 15 more seconds, though. Something's gonna happen, wait, right? No,
I am
I don't...
baffled. I really don't understand.
So what was the name of the place?
Axe Murder Hotel.
An Axe Murder House.
Yeah.
So
he just announces the name of a spooky place, and then he's like, see you later, guys. Peace out. Enjoy that information. Yeah, are just, we supposed to do the research ourselves?
I guess that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed
okay.
to...
You guys hit Google because you know how to use it.
Well, thank God we got that in there, guys. So certainly go... He fucking... And he's going to have another one next week, and we're going to do it again, right? We're going to do the same bit for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
And see, Travis will probably remember next year to do it again, just because, like, he knows that, like, he got us.
He got you.
He didn't get you?
No.
You're okay?
I think this is hilarious.
What's going on with you, buddy? How are you?
I'm chubby and trying to buy a house, and it's frustrating.
You're chubby?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, fat as fuck.
But, you know, I have to tell you, I've noticed that when someone asks you how you're doing, that's always your first response, and I think you should be a little nicer to Mike Napier.
I don't know why you think being fat is somehow not nice. I enjoyed getting there every step of the way.
There's just...
Is Mandy encouraging us to be more positive? Is that...
I'm trying. You guys are just too hard on yourselves. I think you should try... You should start with a little bit of self-love, and then others can love you. Know what I mean?
Well, being fat don't mean you don't love yourself.
That's true.
That's true.
You have a point.
There's an article I read about superhero comic books, including more fat people in it.
That are heroes.
That are heroes.
Because, like, when you look at the comic books and you see all those muscular superhero guys, they don't represent us.
No, they don't represent morbidly obese people. That obviously should have health problems. When you look at Wolverine, you don't see, wow.
Dude, good
thing he's got a healing factor.
Let's make Fat Wolverine. We just make a comic book Fat Wolverine. Like that Nathan For You guy made that coffee place called Dumb Starbucks.
Yeah.
And that way he wasn't infringing on any copyright because it was Dumb Starbucks. It wasn't Starbucks. It was Dumb Starbucks. So we'll just make Fat Wolverine. And he'll represent all of us fats. And people will read our comic book instead of Marvel's.
Now you gotta church it up a bit. It's like morbidly obese on the BMI scale Wolverine.
Now we just need somebody to write it and draw it, but then like send us checks.
You think they will?
Hey, if we have any artists or writers out there that want to make our comic book and pay us for it, you know, we're the idea guys. That's what we're here for. We're not here to, you know, make comic books. We're here to come up with ideas for comic books.
And we just did. We're so good.
Fat Wolverine. See, Fat Wolverine, is he still from Canada?
Yeah, he's still from Canada. Well, he was from the U.S.
He's going bald. So, like, he's still got, you know, the hair sticking out the sides.
He's going bald?
But, like, his hair is kind of going back pretty far.
Yeah, he's balding a little bit.
Does Fat Wolverine just try to fit himself into Skinny Wolverine's outfit, or does he make his own that's like a triple X t-shirt?
I think Fat Wolverine probably wears a sleeveless t-shirt with a beer logo on it and yellow sweatpants with the elastic at the ankles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's got to have a drawstring.
And he probably wears Crocs, I would imagine.
Well, they're really comfortable.
Yeah. And you know. Does he wear a mask, you think, Fat Wolverine?
Yeah, but it, you know, doesn't fit all that good.
So you can still totally tell who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bulging out the sides a bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Fat Wolverine. Yeah, no, we're making this. Fat Wolverine. Maybe we could just, you know, make the audio version of Fat Wolverine and then have like, you know, get some animators to animate our audio version.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
I like it.
There you go.
I like it a lot. Don't you think he should have a better name, though, than Fat Wolverine? Shouldn't he? Like,
no, because what we want is we want people to be searching for regular Wolverine and find Fat Wolverine on accident. And then they'll say, oh, dude, you know, I really like Wolverine, but I'm fat, and this Wolverine is fat, and so I identify more with him. Because Wolverine doesn't identify with anybody. Who is really that ripped, guys, beyond Hugh Jackman? Nobody. That's where Fat Wolverine comes. Because, you know, there's a lot of fats out there. And if all the comic book characters are ripped, then who's going to represent them?
What about, like, More to Love Wolverine, or, like,
More Cushion for the Pushing Wolverine?
Yeah. Like, something a little friendlier and sweeter.
Wolverine and Diabetes?
Wolver bigger than regular Wolverine. That's a bad one.
The thing is though, like, being fat, you shouldn't just accept being fat and like say, oh, I'm beautiful even though I'm fat. I mean, like, because like it's unhealthy. It sucks to be fat.
What about working on my figure, Wolverine?
Yeah.
No, because that implies that, you know, being fat isn't good enough. That he's striving to be skinny like the other superheroes, where he should just accept himself as Fat Wolverine.
Fat and Proud Wolverine.
Fat and Proud Wolverine?
Yeah.
Don't you think that, like, Fat Wolverine should just be, like, depressed? I mean,
Wolverine's already depressed all the time.
I mean, it'd just be, like, a pain in the ass to get out of bed.
That's how he acts now.
And, like, he gets up and, like, he's driving to work, and like he realizes he has a little extra time, so like he stops and gets a McGriddle.
Well,
and then
and
he
the
just
only
eats it sadly in his car.
I think the he only thing he uses his claws for is scratching his balls.
I don't know. Healthy. I got that in the chat. Healthy at any size Wolverine. There you go. That's not bad.
Oh.
Liquid lozenge. See, it's a very positive message. Healthy at any size Wolverine. There you go. Wolverine, I guess, probably couldn't die from, like, fat people diseases, could he?
Nope. Just heal right through them.
Or does he can die, right?
Not
I mean, he'll
easily.
Eventually die of old age. He's just, like, really, really slow, right?
From what I've... From the comic books, you get the impression that he's already, like, 200-plus years old.
But, I mean, he's aging, just not very fast. Because, I mean, if he'd never aged, then he'd still be a baby, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't get his mutant powers, like, later on in life. He's always had them. I mean, he got the adamantium shit later on, but, you know, he still had the thing that would keep him from getting older or dying and stuff long before that.
Yeah, when they had him in the comic books with Cable, and Cable was looking to be about, like, 50-plus years old, and that was Cyclops and Jean Grey's kid. I mean, Cyclops and Jean Grey, they're long dead.
Mandy, I apologize if we're getting into nerd territory that you're not comfortable with. What's going on with you? How are things? Is everything okay over there?
Oh, you know, same old thing.
You're just rocking and rolling, just taking her easy, as a fellow would say.
You know how I clean houses sometimes for a little extra cash?
Yeah.
I had the privilege last week of cleaning, like, the pubiest bathroom I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Dude just gets angry and starts ripping out his pubes.
What do you mean? Like on the seat? Or
like, in the shower. There were so many. It was like, they were just everywhere.
In the shower?
Everywhere, yes. But everywhere, all over, like, every time I would, like, use my sponge and, like, wipe, it was, like, more and more and more.
So the sponge, like, soaked them up, and then when you...
Well, and how are you supposed to get rid of them? You know what I mean? It's like, they cling to everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I spent hours of my life cleaning up the pubes of a stranger.
Like, they just, like, ripped them out of their body and left them wherever they
fell?
That's
what... I was like, this is not a normal amount of pube shed. Like,
see,
this
now, this is
not
the problem that I would have with somebody cleaning my house, is like I would be so self-conscious about what they would find that I would probably clean my house before the housekeeper came over, because I wouldn't want them to like see what a slob I was.
Well, then I guess you really
a
don't
lot
need
of
somebody
people
to do it.
Do that.
Yeah, like I would clean my house, and then when the house cleaner came over, I'd be like, "Oh, you're here to clean the house? Well, you know." It's not too bad this week, I hope. And then, like, I'd leave, and then I'd be thinking to myself, yeah, they're not going to find anything. They're going to think that I live a really good, clean life.
Right. Well, you know, this was actually, like, an empty apartment that I was cleaning, but...
Did the people die?
No, they just moved out.
Oh. Oh, okay, so they were moving out. Nobody was ever going to judge them because they wouldn't know who it was, so they can just leave their pubes...
Yep.
Willy-nilly.
You think they did that as retaliation for getting kicked out of their apartment? They just, like, ripped their genital hair out of them and started sprinkling it about the apartment.
This'll show them. How do you like these pubes, you motherfuckers? You know, to me, it's like, I feel like if someone came in and cleaned my shower, they might find a pube. You know, it just seems like that's not a place that sheds a whole lot, is what I'm saying.
I'd clean the whole bathroom and leave one directly on top of the toilet.
Just as one final fuck you.
Just as a, you will clean this up and I will place it right there and it should be gone when I return.
I used to live with a guy who used to manscape, and when he would manscape, he would leave like his remnants all over the place in the bathroom. And I made a comment on it, and so... When I just told him, you know, hey, man, you know, like when you like shave your shit, can you do a little bit better job of like, you know, like cleaning it up so that you know, when I go in there, I'm not just looking at a big pile of your pubes all over the place. So then he would collect them in little stacks and, like, leave them in very conspicuous spots so that, like, I was forced to see them.
That is really gross.
Like he would clean them up, and he would place them on a paper towel in the center of the toilet or something. So then, like, I would go in there to take a dump, and there would just be, like, a little pyramid of pubes sitting on them.
That's, like, way too much time to spend focusing on making stacks of your own.
But I guess it was important to him, Mandy. And, I mean, I can't fault him for that. You know, he said to himself, you know, I have to take a stand as a man. I have to show this guy. You know, he made a comment about my pubes, and I acknowledged it. And now we must have a pube war.
First of all, like, this guy, if someone says, so, what are your hobbies and interests? And he says, gathering up my pubes and making piles to irritate my roommate.
Ladies and gentlemen, Drunkard STL from the Twitters is here. Drunk.
Hello.
You live with a roommate.
I live with two roommates.
Well, one of them is your girlfriend. She doesn't really count as a roommate, right?
Well, I mean, she is still kind of a roommate, yeah.
But, I mean, see...
You have a roommate, yeah.
There's a special male-male living situation etiquette, I believe.
Okay.
Are you a manscaper, or do you just let your shit just kind of grow?
I bet you...
At any given time, it's generally the same length as what's on my face.
I wanted to guess for us to go around the room and guess at the state of Drunk's pubes.
So, like, when you shave your face, you just go ahead and get the balls and stuff, too?
I just get it all done.
Because, I mean, you got it out. Why not?
Yep, might as well.
Right. I think that's kind of my thing, too. I think always face first, though, right?
Yes, always face first. And then my guy was like,
Well, and see, the thing is, the next time you put it to your face, it was just on your balls. But by then, the cooties have had time to die.
Well, I mean, I have an old pair of, like, head trimmers that I use.
Yeah, me too.
So, I mean,
so you guys basically have, like, a human centipede of face to pube trimming going on. Like, correct. It's always... You're going balls to face at a certain point each time.
Yes. But, I mean, I am pretty good about cleaning the razor, too, so, I mean...
See, I would peg...
I get the toothbrush out and make sure I get it real good, and, you know.
Do you have a special toothbrush for that, or do you use your toothbrush?
No, special toothbrush for the razor.
I would peg Napier as a never manscape kind of guy.
Nope, I trim.
You do?
Yeah, I don't use a razor or anything. I just use
just to trim shears. It back a little bit.
Yeah.
There you go. See, that's the way to go.
Once it gets yankable, then it's time for it to go. Don't want to get caught on nothing.
Well, I mean, for me, it's not even to, like, impress my lady or anything. It just gets too hot for me, personally. So, I mean, my body gets too much if it gets too long. So,
what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to regroup. We got Drunk here now. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Shannon Lake from Not Safe for Water Coolers, and we are going to do Napier Sexy Story Time for the Ladies.
Excellent.
Yay.
So thank you guys for hanging out. We will be back in just a moment. I think no matter what size you are, you wear it well, guys. You do a good job pulling it off. I mean, I don't know if like it's just the way that the clothing you're wearing suits you properly. I mean, like if you have a few extra pounds, I wouldn't even notice.
I just part mine to the side. You can't tell.
Uncensored, unadulterated, unintelligible, sonic blasphemy, alcohol-fueled geek metal mayhem. Wednesday, 6-5 Central on Strange Label Radio. The most brutal 90 minutes on internet radio. Nothing is left sacred.
If you have a problem and no one else can help, and you don't defend their delicate sensibilities, maybe you can hire the Millennium A-Team.
Hannibal, could you not do that in my van? I ain't trying to get no secondhand smoke, sucker.
I'm going to call you guys, because I've been listening to too much Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. That's my favorite part. Guys.
Guys.
Guys. That cracks me up. Now, guys, listen to me. Guys.
And when I'm not practicing the piano, I'm listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. You know you've done me wrong. You stole my wife and gone. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Talk about it, Jen, talk about it.
I'm gonna kill you just for fun, you rascal, you. I'm gonna kill you just for fun, you rascal, you. I'm gonna kill you just for fun. The bugs can have you when I'm done. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Ah, let me talk about him a while. You asked my wife for some cabbage, you dog. You asked my wife
Napier,
for some cabbage.
Shannon has just informed me just that like she savage, put her hair in pigtails.
Excellent.
I do appreciate it. Although this is an audio medium.
Yeah, it's just it's about how I feel.
I mean, it's just, it's just all part of getting into character.
And apparently she's not blonde anymore.
Mike?
You know, we just took a 5-minute break. And Drunk waited until we turned the microphones back on to get up. Oh, well, your microphone's not on, so that doesn't matter. It was like a 5-minute break. And Drunk waited until the microphones got live again to go crack open a Coca-Cola.
I did not actually realize you had turned the microphones on. I'm sorry, sir. See, I said this podcast went to shit as soon as I came back. So.
I mean, it's always been a certain degree of shit, but you really take it right over the edge. Right over the edge of shit.
Whenever Drunkard STL on the Twitter is on the show.
Shannon, the not safe for water coolers guys, they would never put up with shit like that, right?
Oh, hell no.
I mean, you crack open a Coca-Cola on the microphone, Jim will have your ass.
Well, actually, I pretty much berate him for every time he reopens a soda and pours it into his mixed drink.
I'll tell you
and
what.
And then I can hear him drinking through the straw. It drives me insane.
Last week, I was about to have a goddamn conniption fit because if you listen to the podcast from last week, at the 50-minute mark, Napier's wife got up and went over and got out a thing of aluminum foil and was wrapping up a pork chop while we had the live microphones on. She's over there wrapping up a goddamn pork chop while we're doing the show. It's like, well, it's like nobody gives a fuck. Let's just wrap up pork chops, guys.
Well, like she can't do it 30 minutes from now.
Right. It's the 50-minute mark. We're going to be done soon. That pork chop isn't going to get any more or less room temperature in the next couple of minutes.
I'm sure you couldn't hear it.
Oh, you could hear it, because I got mad on the podcast when I was listening to it. I was like, the fucking pork chop!
You could hear yourself getting mad re-listening to it.
I heard it in my voice. I was like, oh, that's when Mike got mad. So, guys, we have Shannon and Mandy here for a very special reason. as you know, Napier Sexy Storytime for the Ladies is a Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks staple.
And it's very rare that we have the ladies on for their Napier Sexy Storytime.
It's a lot of dude sex.
It's it's very common
usually
that we have...
Usually it's me getting pounded, and I'm very glad that it seems like it's not me. This
we time. Had one that I believe that, like... Three of the four Ninja Turtles raped the other Ninja Turtle.
I really did feel uncomfortable reading that one, by the way.
And we had a Walking Dead one where I think Rick and Daryl, didn't they? They fucked. I don't really know why they fucked, but they did. It was like Rick and Daryl, and then just all of a sudden they were fucking, and it was fine.
Shane was involved too, wasn't there? It was like all three of them, wasn't there?
Was Shane in it, too?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, I think that Daryl was jealous of how Rick and Shane, like, talked to each other.
Rick and Shane were beating it out, and then Daryl got all pissed off, and then they beat up Daryl and then fucking made him have it. That's what it was, right?
I don't remember. Go back and listen to it. It's available on WFODix.com. There was some man sex, but this time we have women. And see, the point of this, guys, is not... only just to entice you guys with sexy stories, but it's to show our dramatic chops. I mean,
and to disturb the shit out of you.
Mandy Weaver is a goddamn dramatic actress, and this is when we get to show off her abilities. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I really did try to embody this role in as much as I'm wearing somewhat of a cape.
You're wearing a cape?
Yes.
Or are you just trying to match Shannon's pigtails?
Actually, no. I was wearing a cape before. I've been wearing a cape all day.
Oh, Jesus.
Cool.
That is awesome. I wish Mandy I could go around wearing a cape all day. How old are you, Mandy?
None of your goddamn.
All right. I wish I could be however old Mandy is just wearing a cape all day, though.
So let's quit fucking around, guys. We do have a dramatic reading to get through here.
I appreciate the length of this one.
Drunk will be performing the role of Gomez Adams. I'm sure it'll be Wolverine.
It'll be... I'm going to knock your socks off.
Napier will be narrator, as usual. Shannon will be performing the part of Wednesday Adams. Mandy will be Morticia Adams. I will be sitting here.
Telling us to hurry the fuck up.
Without any further ado, Napier, please, let us get into the mood here with Napier's sexy story time for the ladies.
High atop its hill, beyond the tombstones, the ancient Adams mansion sat. Beneath a dark, starless night sky it rested. Though it did not rest easy, 1,000 sounds disturbed the silence. Mice. What?
1,000 sounds.
1,000. Mice scurried beneath the floorboards, and spiders worked busily on their webs. The house creaked and settled on itself, deep in the bowels of the old house. The behemoth butler Lurch snorted steadily in bed, loud enough to shudder the walls of his cramped quarters. The soft flick of an old book page came from the chamber's bedside, the kitchen, or B-side, shit. I have no idea how to read.
This is so sexy.
I've always been glad I wasn't the narrator, by the way.
You're welcome. Where Grandma Adams sat up, poring over a faded copy of Grey's Anatomy.
Do the Adams family read Grey's Anatomy?
No.
Is Grey's Anatomy a book series?
No, Grey's Anatomy is actually like a textbook for med students.
Oh.
It's almost as old as the Hippocratic Oath itself.
Oh, so fuck me, right?
Yeah, so fuck you. Anyway... No, it's not just a TV show. It's a TV show named after a book that has been around for hundreds of years.
It's one of them double entendres is what it is.
Yeah, like
it
cones.
Is. What is up with your emphasis tonight?
Onward.
That's how you do dramatic readings.
We're doing a dramatic reading, Shannon.
Okay, I'm sorry.
in the greenhouse, there was a crunching, gnawing, as the giant fly traps feasted on their squirming dinner. On the upper floors, from Uncle Fester's room, came a low whine and the occasional gasp as Fester thrashed across the bed in the grips of a fierce night terror. A few rooms over, in the nursery, the toddler Pubert cooed and gurgled in his sleep. Between the walls, in one of the myriad hidden passages, there was the soft plod of footsteps as the Adams' middle child, Pugsley, crept silently along the walls, trying to stifle his laughter. Of late, he had taken a liking to slipping into the passageway late at night while the house slept, and peering into the various rooms to watch his family without them knowing. It was always a thrill, but tonight there was promised to be a real show. For tonight, by far the loudest sounds were coming from his sister's room, the eldest child, Wednesday. Beyond her door came a constant creak of her mattress and the steady slam of her headboard as it hit the wall. Mingling with voices raised in passion.
Oh God! Fuck yes!
Wednesday called, her normally stoic voice now raised in fever, as her partner grunted with effort.
Oh, harder!
She ordered. Pugsley heard this from the passage and suppressed his giggles once again, his hand shaking with excitement slightly. He very gently slid back the hidden panel in the wall and pressed his face to the two eye slots that looked into his sister's room. It was shadowy, lit by candles on the nightstand. He could see clothing scattered in disarray across the floor. Wednesday herself was bent over on the bed, naked, her pigtails swaying, her pale skin seeming to glow in the candlelight. Behind her was a tall, slender teen boy with long black hair, thrusting back and forth. Pugsley didn't recognize him, but that was no surprise. There had been three this week already, all different.
He was
panting and groaning as Wednesday's face contorted with each of his movements. Smiling, Pugsley absently rubbed the bulge in his shorts.
God, fuck me!
She cooned louder.
That's the dude.
Oh, yeah. He's so tight.
The boy moaned, moving faster. The bed groaned and swayed, and the headboard slammed. Wednesday withered and howled. Grinning, Pugsley unzipped his fly. Meanwhile, the sound from Wednesday's room carried across the house. It drifted down the hall to the master bedroom, where, in the gloom, in the great king-size bed, under green satin sheets, Monica, or Morticia, fuck. I'm not doing good today. Morticia and Gomez lay, awake and listening. Gomez held his wife close to him, and Morticia gently stroked his brow.
I said harder.
Wednesday's voice called from several doors down, muffled but clear. At last, Gomez spoke into the darkness.
Listen to it, Tish.
Uh, our little girl.
Hold on. We gotta get a clean read on this, guys. Compose yourselves. Drunk.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Please perform your line again. Nobody laugh this time. Drunk takes this shit seriously, okay?
I can't. I'm crying.
Listen to it, Tish.
Our little girl.
Morticia answered. The sound of the slamming headboard picked up speed, and the animalistic cries grew louder.
Imagine it, darling. Our daughter, bent on all fours like a bitch in heat, howling and moaning like a whore, a thick member violates her wet teen flesh.
Jesus Christ.
A slut, a common harlot. I'm so proud. Give me what more would come. What more could a parent want?
Jesus Christ, drunk. You know what he sounds like? You know the chef in The Little Mermaid that tries to kill the crab?
Yes. Sacre bleu!
I know Gomez wasn't French, isn't he? Like a little Hispanic dude.
I don't think he really had an accent of to speak of.
I don't know, Raul Julia.
No, drunk. Don't listen to them. You're killing it.
He was pretty animated during that whole movie, man.
I don't know. Stay with it. You're killing it.
And she's not the only one to be that we have to be proud of, my dearest.
Morticia said. Gingerly, her husband's cheek.
I don't think this person knows what gingerly means.
I think gingerly means something else in whatever trying to say.
He turned to look.
We don't have many opportunities to make fun of the writing in this one. I mean, there's some, but not as many as usual.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
No, it's not as bad as the Megatron and Optimus Prime one that we did.
I mean, still, you got Pugsley in the wall jacking off watching his sister get fucked, and the parents are excited.
Right, this is pretty tame.
I mean, it's still silly.
Of course it's silly.
But it's silly, but it's spooky.
It's spooky, yes. Because
it's
spooky.
It's spooky
month.
And sexy. Right.
Spooky month! We're conflicted.
He turned to look at her ashen face, framed by the locks of her jet black hair.
Pugsley?
Mm-hmm. He's becoming quite the little peeping Tom. He skulks around the house in the passageways, leering into rooms through the peepholes. Twice now I've glimpsed him spying on me as I was bathing.
Gomez's eyes sparkled cheerfully.
Ha ha! That little rascal! I and Fester used to do that when we were boys! 15 and already a chip off the old block.
What the fuck?
They were quiet for a moment, listening as the cries of passion seemed to reach their zenith. Then there was silence.
Yeah, there was after a noise like that. Jesus Christ. At least put some feeling into it. I'm giving you all I got. I can't fake an orgasm better than this right now.
For the
and
several,
I'm really good at it too.
For the several pregnant seconds, all sound of the headboard, the mattress, and the moaning ceased. Gomez and Morticia waited anxiously. After a moment, a loud thud as a trap door opened, followed by a great flushing sound as a protracted scream.
Another conquest out or the night.
Morticia said softly,
"Oh, Tish, our children are perverts.
They're nymphos.
They're deviants.
They're tramps.
They're Adams.
They're Adams."
Thank you.
morning dawned, grim and gray, and the Addams
family theme.
You pointed and said yes.
Yeah. I thought it would be. I'm sorry.
Mike's like, now go. Don't go. By to see them. Hey, they're a riot. They're a doggone
scream. Hey, the Addams Crazy Bunch. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Morning dawned. Grim and gray, and the Addams clan stirred slowly from its fitful slumber. Gomez was up with the sun, and he slipped out of bed and into his long robe silently, while the rest of the family was still waking. He pushed open the glass door that led to the adjacent balcony, stepped out, and surveyed the grounds. From his vantage point, he could see across the whole expanse of the property, the sprawling ancestral cemetery, the putrid swampland rife with quicksand and dead trees, the treacherous ravine, the acres and acres of wasted earth, choked with rocks and weeds. He took a deep breath of thick, fetid air and sighed contently. He heard the faint pop of knuckles crackling at his side and felt a soft tug on the cuff of his silk pajama bottoms. Looking down, he saw the family's faithful hand thing. Perched on its fingertips by his slippered foot.
Good morning, old man.
Thing scuttled about to face the door and pointed his index finger. Gomez turned, following the gesture. Morticia was leaning against the door frame, an odd smile on her face. She was dressed in a black nightgown, sheer enough that her ruby red nipples could be stiffening in the morning air.
Look at it. Cara mia. No blue, no green, no sun. Desolate Laceland, as far as the eye can see. Paradise, its beauty is revealed. Only by yours.
He extended his hand, and she took it, pulling herself into him.
Gomez,
she said, placing her hand on his bare chest.
This morning, I woke and looked out the window. I saw the gray sun in the sky, and I was overwhelmed. A wave of depression swept over me. It was wonderful. It was like all hope had left the world. All there was darkness and sorrow. Misère noire.
Oh, Tish. French.
Gomez said, his eyes alight.
Oui.
He snarled gleefully and began to kiss her hand. Working his way up her arm with his lips as he wrapped her arm around her waist.
Okay.
She could feel him beginning to harden against her thigh. As he reached the nape of her neck, she slid her hand up his back and into his hair.
Gomez?
He stopped with visible effort and looked up at her.
Yes, my darling.
He said, his voice rough and breathy. She ran her fingers down the side of his face.
Hearing Wednesday last night, the youthful zeal in her cries of passion, I thought of when we first met.
Gomez took a half step back, his eyes getting wide.
Balthazar's funeral!
Seeing you standing there by the open grave, tall, dark, handsome, I asked Mama who that man was with the mustache. She told me, Gomez Addams. I knew then I had to be yours.
He slipped around her Lilith body.
Nope. yeah, that's the wrong word.
That's Ilf? Not how you say it. It's lithe.
Is that Ilf?
Good try, though.
Lithe.
Yep. I've never used Nailed that it. Word. And took her into her arms.
Did she keep going into her own arms?
Into her arms?
That's what it said the last time, too. He, like, wrapped her into a pretzel of her own arms.
He put her in her own arms?
Yes!
Yeah. I guess.
So he put her in her own arms and then just screamed in a crazy accent into her ear.
Yeah. Oh.
Nothing gets me going like that.
She could now feel his stiffness pressing against her buttocks.
You are so beautiful. Pale under the moonlight. I was bewitched. I could even look at the corpse. The priest began to talk about the enormity of our grief, and I slipped through the crowd towards you.
She wiggled into him and leaned her head onto his shoulder.
I was helpless. I felt your eyes probing me, exploring every inch of me, undressing me in your mind. You looked like a vulture eyeing a sickly fawn. I was yours for the taking.
Ooh.
His hands slid upward towards her breasts and pushed his body closer to hers as he began to kiss her neck once more.
I came up behind you and I whispered in your ear.
Excuse me, I'm Gomez Adams, and I can't take my eyes off of you.
She said, smiling at the memory.
And I said, just your eyes. Oh
my. And then before any words were spoken, my hands were all over you.
He turned her around and stared into her eyes.
You took me right there, tore my dress off and laid me on the ground, and then you were inside me.
All the mourners turned to watch. Our mourns drowned out the sounds of the eulogy.
You were a beast, a monster. It was terrifying. I loved it.
You know, there was a scene that I cut for time in this. Mm-hmm. That thing finger-banged Morticia.
What? You cut that for time?
I did, yeah. It was a good 2 pages of a character that doesn't talk, just finger banging Morticia.
Oh man.
Guys, just imagine. I mean, I guess that would make sense. I mean, I guess if you were writing erotic Adams Family fanfiction, you had to get Thing in there. What's Thing gonna do? He's gonna finger bang a bride.
Absolutely.
Wait a second. Does Thing have hands?
It is just a hand.
Just a hand. Oh, I'm thinking of Cousin It is one that's just
hair. Yes, It is just hair.
I also got the two confused, and Mike really let me have it.
I'm sorry. I just want to know what I'm visualizing. A big, giant hand is way better to get finger-banged with than a hair thing. Yeah.
A hair monster with no hands.
And a hair
Yeah. Monster. I was just wondering at the logistics of finger-banging.
So I actually lost my spot. Where were we
at here? Got a question. If he's just a hand, does it count as finger-blasting? Or does it technically count as eating her out?
No, I think it would be like fucking her with his head.
Yeah, he's like head fucking her.
Yeah, head fucking her.
Do those count as little arms?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess he's like fisting her.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh God, could you imagine if he actually fisted her?
Would he disappear?
That's gonna blow. That's gonna blow the sidewall out of that tire real quick.
They didn't cover that on the show.
Okay, so we lost our place. Let's take it you were a beast.
Okay. You were a beast, a monster. It was terrifying. I loved it.
She writhed a get pushed. Nope. I don't know that word. Withered?
Writhed. She writhed.
I didn't know there was a W in that.
You squiggle into it, like.
Oh. She writhed, pushed her hips into his, loving to feel the bulge of his manhood rub against her slit.
The rest of the night was a dream. We talked for hours and explored our carnal desires tonight for more times. And at the climax of our passion, I asked you to be my wife.
My wife!
My wife!
My wife!
And we took our dark vows the very next night before the ancient crypt. To have been so young, my love, if only we could go back to that night just once.
Gomez was kissing her shoulder and stopped midway. He pulled his head up and looked at her, exhilaration drowning on his face.
Cara mia, that is inspired. It is just Brilliant! I've got to start right away. So much to do! So much to do!
And with that, he kissed her on the lips firmly and dashed off the balcony and into the house. Morticia stood bemused, staring at him as he zipped through the master bedroom and away. She smiled curiously.
Well, I wonder what this could be.
About a half hour after waking, the family drifted down to the kitchen where Grandma Hester was laying out the plates for breakfast. Fester arrived and slid his bulk into a chair behind the long oaken table. She was pouring him a cup of thick, oily tea, billowing steam, when Morticia arrived, now dressed in her tight black dress and carrying a squirming 3-year-old under her arms.
Hello, children,
Morticia said, dipping a hunk of bread onto her plate.
Hello, Mother.
So how was everyone's evening?
Fester shrugged and muttered,
It was fine. I stopped breathing twice while I was asleep.
That was a good Uncle
Fester. That was really excellent. You like
that? His obvious cries for help went unnoticed. Wednesday swallowed a mouthful of food.
I had sex.
Lovely, dear. Who with? Oops.
Fair enough. Wednesday gave a small shrug.
Does it matter?
Morticia smiled, pleased by her daughter's coldness.
And how was he?
Hard.
At that moment, Gomez burst into the room, a man-shaped ball of energy beaming broadly, Thing perched on his shoulder. Everyone turned to stare at him as he bound up to the head of the table.
Everyone, I have an announcement.
What is it, Father?
Wednesday asked.
Bad news?
Fester suggested excitedly.
Darling, tell us.
Family, Morticia has me a grand idea.
He fell to his knee and took Tish's hand into his.
Cara mia.
Cara mia.
In one month's time, we will celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. To honor the occasion, we will be hosting the entire family. A magnificent affair with food, dancing, the basement. And then, a stroke of midnight, we will renew our dark vows before the entire clan.
He brought her hand to his lips and kissed it.
That is...
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
That is what I... I'm sorry, I was still trying to figure out if I said the word debasement wrong. I mean...
I think if we learned anything from this edition of Napier Sexy Storytime, it's that none of us can read.
But I can moan like a motherfucker.
Yep. That is, if you will have me, my love.
Oh, mon cher.
Morticia said, delighted, running her hand over his cheek.
To go back to the night we met, the boy.
The girl.
The open grave.
See now, and so what I would imagine, where I imagine this is going, is that they're going to have the whole family, and then they're just going to have like one big orgy.
I mean, yeah.
That's where you imagine this is going, right?
Everyone tangled in Thing's hair. Or no, not Thing's hair. It's hair. Cousin, it's hair.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess whoever was writing it got tired of writing it. And so that's it.
Right.
So they were leading up to a big climax that never really happened. But we can assume that Lurch just fucked everybody, and the grandma and Fester probably like banged like right on the kitchen table, and it was a whole thing, guys.
Lurch was just going through Britain.
I'm surprised that Pugsley didn't just, like, join in while he was peeping.
Yeah, Pugsley just kind of, you know, jacked off in the closet.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. He's a watcher voyeur.
I mean, that's how you learn.
Okay, you guys, I have to go.
I appreciate you joining us, Mandy.
Thank you very much.
Have
would you
a day.
Hang up on me? I don't know how I lost the... I don't... Sorry.
It was very fun.
It was fun. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye, Mandy.
What the fuck?
That's a graceful exit, too.
Jesus Christ.
Did she just fall out of the show?
Mandy, are you okay?
Are you all right?
Does somebody have Mandy's phone number? We just need to call and make sure she's all right.
I don't know a lot about podcasting, but I think that's not the way you do it. I love you, Mandy. I'm sorry.
What the fuck just happened?
I don't know. She just smashed through the internet. It's like, I'm out of here.
Every week, how Mandy ends the podcast is she just slams her keyboard until it breaks.
She like
that
goes,
means
Randy,
it's off.
I can't believe I spent the last hour on these motherfucker shows. Boom.
That didn't sound like a computer, though. That sounded like Mandy.
It sounded like she fell on top of her microphone.
Maybe she was just really pleased with her performance and did a drop the mic.
She dropped, yeah, right.
That did sound like a mic drop.
So I will say this. I'm very pleased with the length of this one that you chose. Because usually it's like 20 pages and we're just trying to sift through this whole thing. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Megatron was easily 30 pages and 10 people.
But it was worth it.
It was hard to follow. It was
worth it. It was worth it.
I think this is my third time being part of this segment.
Well, I mean, Shannon, I mean, you're fun one, but mostly you're one of the only girls we know.
Yeah. It's true. It is true, and it's been a while since I've been on the show, so thank you boys for having me back.
How have you been?
I've been great. I am just doing the podcasting thing, and not safe for water coolers is good. Jim sends his best.
Does Jim send his best, Shannon?
You know,
that's just the thing you say.
I feel like I'm in a safe place with you guys, am I? Can we have a private talk?
Absolutely.
About
right. Nobody listens to this shit whole show.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So, private between us and, you know, the rest of the internet. But I feel like... he's slipping. I feel like he doesn't have the passion for the show anymore. We're losing a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like other people are being called upon to do more of the day-to-day stuff.
Well, yeah, but I just don't think his passion's there anymore.
And you guys have been missing weeks here and there. Like, you made the vow to go weekly, and you haven't really been going weekly.
And I feel like we're getting to a point now where he might want to retract and go back to our bi-weekly schedule where we're only podcast form, and I said, nay! How dare you, James Chadman? This is what we've been working for 3 years.
The thing that always tickles me about Jim is every week on the show, and I am a regular listener of Not Safe for Water Coolers.
Yes, you are.
Every week, Jim bitches about how nobody listens to the show and nobody shows up in the chat. But he does nothing to remind people to listen to it.
Right.
He does very little to even promote that the podcast exists.
Yeah.
I guess he just thinks that people are going to find... And don't get me wrong. I mean, like, nobody listens to our show, but, like, I'm constantly trying to find ways to get people to listen to it. It just seems like Jim puts it on the internet and expects, like, people to go... oh, what's this?
Well, I mean, you have to think. Let's not look at what we're doing with the podcast for the past 3 years. Let's go back and look at baby Jim Chadman. I mean, he's been receiving accolades for nothing his entire life. He just expects it to come rolling in.
Does his mom, like, really...
Oh, dotes all over him.
Yeah.
So
she calls him every day, I'm sure.
That was a really funny cunt joke, sweetie.
You know what, speaking of moms, I was making a joke today. I'm like, man, my mom would be so fucking proud. Guess what I'm doing on a Monday night? I'm gonna fake an orgasm on internet radio.
Excellent.
It's acting.
Yep. It is acting. That makes it classier.
So I feel like I didn't do like all Wolverine this time.
No.
Yeah, you really broadened your range. Good job. High five.
Yeah. Nice job, Drunk.
Guys, be sure to let Drunk know how good he did. Because I feel like he took a lot of pride in that. He worked really hard.
Drunk, that was fantastic. And I know in the past, with our history, I am not always super happy with you. But
I understand. Thank you very much.
You knocked it out of the park. And I think finally, after about...
Right.
What was it?
It's about time I stopped disappointing you, right?
Yeah. Two years after the most epic disappointment in the world, you're back in my good graces. I forgive you.
Forgiven but not forgotten, I understand.
For somebody who hasn't been listening to the show for multiple years, Shannon helped us win Drunk a contest to fly to Vegas and have sex with a porn star.
He won.
And he won, and then he didn't go. And well, Shannon was
let's take this back for a second. I won a chance to have sex with a porn star.
No, you won the fucking contest.
No, there was three winners, and there was a fucking panel, and like there was after
Drunk, nobody entered that contest.
Yeah,
the only people who entered the contest were us. The other two contestants were more than likely some guys that this dude knew.
Yeah.
Who was having to fill in. You won the contest, Drunk.
Well, I will say this. Shannon poured her heart and soul into me winning that contest.
Right. I fucking did.
My Twitter feed was ablazing for like 6 months.
She had a lot of passion. Purely because of Shannon.
And I really do appreciate that,
And
Shannon.
Then I feel like when you disappointed Shannon, we kind of lost her.
We did. And that's all my fault.
I know. I used to be on the show all the time.
It's mostly your fault.
No, it's completely my fault.
Drunk and I went out on a blind date on the show. And I thought we had good chemistry. I thought things were going to be great and we'd get along swimmingly. And then he... completely and totally fucked me over and broke my heart.
I think one of my all-time favorite moments from the show was during the podcast blind date when Shannon offered to pay. And this was an imaginary date. I mean, this was set up,
I had zero clue.
It was all theater of the mind. Ambushed Drunk with this.
It was a straight ambush. I walk in there like, oh great, Drunk's here.
At the end of the podcast date, Shannon offered to pay for the imaginary meal, and I mean, like, Drunk should have. I mean, like, just because it's not real anyway, should have been like, no. Obviously, this isn't real money, and I'm the man. I should pay for this fake date with my fake podcast money. But, like, without skipping a beat, without, like, a millisecond after Shannon said, I'll pay, Drunk goes, thanks.
You really knocked it out.
My girlfriend pays for dinner all the time. I love it.
We obviously hit his nervous tick of I will pay for you to do things.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks. Oh, my gosh.
Guys, yeah. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, did any of you by chance, Shannon, you have a few minutes, right? You don't have anywhere to be.
Of course I do. I have all the time.
Shannon, did you hear
them.
The story about the mayor of Peoria?
I did not.
The mayor of Peoria, Illinois, not too far from here. It's maybe an hour drive, you think?
About an hour and a half.
There's like a 20-year-old kid made a fake parody account of the Peoria mayor. It was at Peoria mayor. And he was tweeting ridiculous things. Like one of the tweets was, I'm trill as fuck. I don't even know what being trill is. But
it's like being on fleek.
I don't know what that is either.
It's what all the cool kids are saying that are like 14 years
old. So to be trill is like to be under the influence of some narcotic or something.
I'm sure.
Right. So he's tweeting like crazy things about like, you know, fucking hoes and shit like that. And in the bio for the Twitter account, it said this is a parody account. Like anybody needed to know anyway that this wasn't a legit account. So... the mayor of Peoria, and by the way, this account had 55 followers total.
Ooh, a lot.
I think you get 55 followers like...
yes, pretty much.
By starting a Twitter account.
Yeah.
And maybe a few of this guy's friends. But I mean, by no means was this like a big account. And so the mayor caught wind that somebody was impersonating him on the internet and, like, sent the cops to arrest him and, like, to confiscate all of his electronic devices and stuff. And when they determined that he actually hadn't broken any laws, I mean, he's just making a joke account on Twitter. That's not against the law or anything.
Right.
They actually sued the city of Peoria, and this guy made $125,000 in a settlement.
Just
for just being an asshole, like, amazing. I'm trill as fuck. You are trill as fuck, youngster.
See, that's the kind of shit you need to do.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So everybody's pissed off at the mayor of Peoria for not having much of a sense of humor. I think it's fucking hilarious.
Well, you know, those are tax dollars hard at work than paying somebody that is on fleek with his Twitter account being trill as fuck.
So, I mean, that's hope out there for all of us guys.
Dude, that's working the system. I mean, seriously, how do we make money and make pissing people off profitable? Because we do it quite frequently. We get in Twitter wars with people
it's
all the
time. It's been so long, though, Shannon. It seems
we really haven't had a good Twitter.
It seems like our little group of pals isn't really very active anymore. How do we get it back? How do we bring back the magic, Shannon?
We gotta stir up some shit. We need to go back.
I need you to be my ambassador
to
the
fun. We need to get that vegan beef going.
I want to feel what I used to feel. And
I will be your Twitter drama / friend ambassador.
Shannon,
I'm the Angelina Jolie of starting shit on Twitter.
You just
and
need to find some sort
us.
Of contest for Shannon to win for us. That's what you need to do.
Find somebody impersonating a celebrity or something that we can get into some random argument with. We need
you know
to bring
who I found on Twitter the other
joy.
Day, and maybe we can pursue this person. She actually rates and critiques. She's like the Siskel and Ebert of pornography.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't she sound interesting? I kind of want to fight with her, but I kind of don't.
Does she like grade it on like technical levels, like the color saturation and
yeah.
like how good
and,
the cuts
and the
are?
And the camera angles and the lighting and everything.
Like all of it?
And the plot, yeah.
Wow.
Plot? I know. So I can't tell if I want to fight with her because I'm like, that's not a real job. Like, I kind of want to criticize her job and be like, that's not a fucking real job. What do you really do? Like,
that actually sounds like more than a pain in the ass than it needs to be.
No one has that as their real job. I want to know what her real job is.
See,
you are a server at fucking Applebee's.
Have you ever found a pornographic film and like it has a good looking gal in it? And it seems fine, but like the story just isn't working with you, or like the camera angle isn't right.
I mean,
that happens, right?
Well, the story, yeah. Maybe that's because I'm a woman. A camera angle doesn't bother me at all. I'm
you
like,
know what
okay.
I don't like? I don't like a lot of contrast. I noticed that in the pornographic films, like if it's dark and like there's a lot of contrast. I like I like a light, sunny pornography film is what I like.
There's too much emphasis on the deck.
I can't stand fake boobs.
she's making fun of my my vernacular.
You have vernacular?
Oh, I'm not. Oh, I find Lord. It to be endearing.
So, guys. Oh, I see. I'm trying not to say guys. Did you hear I played the song? Chris Brake was making fun of me because I say guys too much.
I like
the Chris Brake show. Were making fun of me, Napier. They said that I say guys too much. He said it's his favorite part is when I say guys all the time.
Do you
want to what word would you replace guys with?
Fellers.
Fellas.
How about listen?
Pilgrims.
Pilgrims.
Just listen.
All right, pilgrims. We're heading on out of here.
No, you should be like, all right, chuckleheads. Kind of insulting but endearing at the same time. Like, they're your buddies, but you can...
Oh, yo, knucklehead.
Maybe like our listeners need a nickname, like the Dickaroos.
Ooh, Dickaroos.
The Dickettes.
I like that.
All you Dickaroos out there, listen.
The Dickens.
The Burrowers.
I'm going to... make a real conscious effort to cut down my guys. Because
it's hard. It really is. Someone pointed out to me, when you have one of those, like, I wouldn't call it a tick per se, but when you have a show and you say something frequently, it was brought to my attention that I say "and stuff like that" to punctuate sentences all the time. It's a hard habit like to break. Yeah.
When I go back and listen to the podcast, I get really mad at how often all of us say "like."
Yeah, I do too. You can't.
I'm listening to it. I'm like, like and like and like and like and like, and then we were like, and then you were like,
and then I was like
fucking stop it. But like, I don't even notice it. I think I just said it. Did I say, and like, I don't even notice it? I think I did, didn't I? And like, I didn't even notice it. You know, that's what I said right after we were talking about how I say "like" too much. I did it, and I don't hear it when I'm talking. But I hear it when I'm listening back, and it just makes me mad.
Yeah, I know. Does.
You know, Mark Marone really should listen to our shows because we give out a lot of helpful tips.
Who?
Mark Marone.
Who the fuck is Mark Marone?
Mainstream podcaster, and you know, has like 50 bazillion fans.
Is she talking about Mark Maron?
Is it Maron? Have I been fucking that up for like years now? My world's crashing down around me.
I hovered over the hang up button on Shannon and drunk.
Oh my god! Like
I really did. I was like, "Are you really hanging up on her? We disappoint her all the time. You cannot hang up on Shannon. You go out on good terms with her. I'm not putting up with this bullshit anymore."
Shannon, the rest of us like you. We don't want you to not be our friends because Mike is not a friend.
No, I can't believe I just said that. That is humiliating.
Mark Marone?
I just wanted him to be fancier. I'm sorry.
That's really churching up that name.
Yeah.
It looks so much, or it sounds so much prettier when you say it that way.
So any plans for this week, Mike?
No.
No.
Mike, I'm sorry.
So Wednesday is Back to the Future Day, so I'm probably going to veg out and just marathon that out.
Mike, come back to me. Stay with me. I'm your ambassador of fun. I didn't mean to crush your world. Mike, speak to me.
Mike can't speak to you.
Mike, I know you're shaking your head right now, and I know that you're disappointed, and you're looking at your feet. Look at me. Look at me. Mike. Mike. Don't do this. I'll knock on your door and sing the "Do You Want to Build a Snowman" song.
Yes. Can you do my door next?
Yes, I can. I'm going to do all your doors so hard. Sorry, I can't shake this sexy vibe. It's too much for me. And I feel like Mike just walked off. Did he? Is he pacing? Is he angry? No. Look at me. Okay. You're so sad. No. Michael.
Shannon, you ruined...
Michael, we've been together for so long.
Shannon,
that's not...
you ruined the podcast, Shannon.
I didn't ruin the podcast.
Yeah, great. Now he's going to delete the whole thing and make us redo it.
Mike.
Shannon.
I'm sorry.
You ruined the podcast entirely. It's unsalvageable now.
I will say this. I thought it's been the best podcast we've had in months.
Mike.
I think Mike's the reason we don't have friends.
Oh, man. It is on me. Come back to me, Michael. You can do this.
You just need to give him a week's worth of YouTube clips and blow up his Twitter, and then he'll be happy again.
Guys.
Okay.
It's been real.
And it's been fun.
We'll try to do an actual show next week. We're going to try to follow in the footsteps of Mark Marone.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mike, you just said you got upstaged. Well, that's my mama.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. Follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.